this place on the internet could be a time capsule for all the nostalgia that we would think we would feel. I honestly would love if like there was a study done for people our age, like go back like 5 years on your Tumblr and see if all those things you said you were going to be nostalgic for, if you actually are. I'm going to probably say no, because the way that we romanticize like romantic relationships in college or friendships in college or just, you know, like anything, you know, I don't really think that you understand what it is until you're in it. And then you realize it's not romantic at all.
Yeah.
It's just life.
Hi, I'm Hannah Rose Sturgis. I'm 22, I just graduated college, and I obsess over time a lot. So I decided to make In Good Time, a weekly newsletter and podcast diving into the time and life and growth and art and really whatever time relates to. For the first week, I wanted to talk about nostalgia. It seemed important because it's been hovering over me since I graduated that I'm supposed to feel nostalgic for college, but my feelings about it are a little bit more complicated than that. To talk about nostalgia and graduating college, I called up my friend Arielle Santikarma, who is an anthropologist and spends a lot of time investigating how the past is always tied to the present. We talked about whether nostalgia is good for you, our Tumblr eras, and why we get so hung up on the past. Enjoy.
Thank you, Arielle Santikarma, for joining me on the very first installment of the In Good Time podcast. I couldn't think of a better first guest. And for those of you at home who don't yet know Arielle Santikarma, you will very soon. Arielle Santikarma is a fellow GW alum. We've known each other since freshman year. We were living out on the Mount Vernon campus in the woods. And now she's going to Yale University as an anthropology PhD student. And she's just so smart. And I'm glad that you accepted my invitation to do this, because I know that like you understand this conflict that we're talking about this week of feeling nostalgic, but then also feeling like you can be in the present, and whether or not nostalgia is an emotion that we can exist in for any amount of time that's healthy. And you just said something before I started recording, of course, that was really brilliant. So if you want to repeat that word for word.
Yeah, no, I'm just like reflecting on the fact that we're both alum, and there's certainly like a nostalgia for the past, but I'm also so happy that we're at this point. Like, so I'm just like really having like a moment of like, wow, like we are here. And I think that sense of being present is something that's so fleeting and rare for me. And what I was saying before is that like you and I were talking earlier about how so much of our like teen years, and even now, is like you listen to Olivia Rodrigo's album, right? Like every moment of the present is ruptured by an obsession for the past, whether it's like our interest or the way that the past calls us into this moment right here, how it shapes us, how the wound lives, as I like to think of it. But it's funny to be in this moment of like graduation and this kind of like rite of passage from young adulthood to like real adulthood or whatever, where there's just different expectations that are placed on you. And I almost feel like even though I'm in the present, like I'm constantly aware of, like there's a sense of nostalgia for the present at the same time, even as I'm living it. So when you say like my introduction and you ask me if that's correct, I'm like, wow, like that is correct. Like, who is that? You know, it's a sense of, it's almost, it's not like disembodiment, but it's almost like being outside of your body, like looking in.
No.
Even though you're in this present moment. And yeah. I think that is kind of a product of like the way that we've grown up on the internet, and how like you're kind of taught to tune your eye to each moment of your life, to imagine it from like another angle, or like a bird's eye view or a camera or some other perspective. Like you're always kind of channeling the present through like how you can capture and then recirculate it, right? On like Instagram or TikTok. And I feel like in a way, like it teaches us to view the present as something already like, something already like rich with nostalgia.
Yeah, the present's also, like, already a memory.
Yeah, like I feel a sense of like alienation from it even now. Not in a bad way at all, but I'm just like noticing that as you, that's like no, coming that's up in my body, even as you speak.
So true, because it's like, I mean, if you think about every social media app that we have now or that we grew up with, like yeah. will give you memories. It's like, oh, 3 years ago, this is what you were doing. And like everything is like coded to like a certain time that you're supposed to like remember. And sometimes I think like I very deliberately don't really post when I'm like doing things.
Hmm.
I like almost never. Huh?
Yeah. Like in the moment.
In the moment, yeah. Like I will post like 5 hours later about what I did this morning. Mm. Or I just won't post it at all because I feel like if I do post in the moment, it just instantly becomes a memory. But it's funny that you say that it felt like sometimes like this graduation period, you know, we graduated like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And which is literally, oh my gosh.
I know.
Almost to the minute. Okay, that's crazy. I'm recording this almost to the minute. And we, like, I was sitting literally in my apartment here, close to campus, with my family, as I watched them, like, you know, confer our degrees, and I didn't feel like I was here.
Mm.
I felt like I was, like, 10 years away.
Mm.
I don't know if, and it's not that I didn't enjoy it, it was just, like, I really did not feel present. Because I feel like these big moments were always taught like, oh, the memories, the memories, the memories. I really am trying to reinforce in my own life, like the present, the present, the present, exactly. like just live in it. Don't worry if you got a million pictures. Don't worry if, you know, you're going to like the outfit you wore. Like, I'm like, does it doesn't matter. Like, did you like the outfits you wore when you were in 2011? No, actually, kind of I did. But like, you have to move past this idea that like the past is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I wrote this in the blog post, like the reason, someone told me this, the reason we think the past is perfect is because it doesn't change, it can't change. Okay, I know what your Tumblr feed was like. I just looked it over and frankly, to everyone who's listening, Arielle's exact, like after you've listened so far of what she's talked about, like you know what her Tumblr feed looks like. It was it was perfect. It was like so good. But can you explain to me like how you, like were you actively curating this at like 15 years old?
Yeah.
And I feel like you did have a lot of nostalgic reblogs. There was a lot of like, yeah, art and like classical things and things like that.
Yeah, so when I was like 15 or 16, thinking back, it was always like a little curated, to be honest, mm-hmm. because I think I remember, okay, so I had a best friend in middle school, high school, and even to like today we're still very good friends. She's one of the oldest friends I've ever had, actually. Mm-hmm. But she's a Leo, and Leos and Aquariuses are sister signs, and something that I love about Leos are that I think they bring out, especially in me and as an Aquarius, the, like, I feel like we both have this sense of like, we enjoy the artistry and the craft of like curating something. I think mm-hmm. sometimes teen girls in particular are so slandered for like the desire to like make things beautiful.
Or to do anything.
Yeah, I'm flower farming now and I put in all this labor just to create something that only exists to be beautiful. And so I think I see it kind of like that, where I did have it curated, and it was a way, I think, of like, like, I don't know if it's like enacting control or something over the beauty of my life around me and just picking out things so that it's like a bouquet, right? Mm. And then finally you have this gorgeous, like at each iterative level, like each post that you reblog is beautiful or like aesthetically beautiful to you, whatever your taste is.
Yeah.
But then on a grand scheme of things, you see them all together and you see how these colors fit together and these moods or ideas or themes.
We go back to the earliest date. Like when I got mine in like 2012, I was 13. I literally remember the moment I made my account. I was so excited. My first post was literally being like, hi, I'm Hannah. I want to be a writer, but I just need to find a publisher. Like, that's all I have to do. Like literally. And I was like, I mean, I'm also an actor. I had never acted in anything at that point. Okay, so I was just manifesting. I didn't even know what manifesting was. I just simply believed in myself, which that's great. It was, I actually like really like almost cried when I read that, because I was like, how did I even know that these were the things I wanted? Mm. It's also funny because not that my desires haven't really much changed, but what has changed is like I loved like 80s movies growing up. I don't know if you were like into like John Hughes movies. I love Molly Ringwald. But I would watch those movies and be like, oh my gosh, those, like, I feel those feelings, but their feelings are so much better than mine. Mm. Or like their clothes are so much better. Like, their clothes were not much better. It's like they were very much wearing flower skirts, the same way that we, like, everything is reinterpreted in a new time. Like, we weren't doing that much different stuff. Yeah. And I feel like I'd talk to my mom and be like, oh, I would always talk to her. I'm like, what was it like when you were in high school in the 80s? And she was like, I don't know, wasn't anything. I hated when she would say it wasn't anything special. Mm. It had to be. I needed it to be. Because yeah. I had to believe that it was something better than this. But I don't know. Like I so badly wanted things from the past to be better than my present. Mm. And I felt like Tumblr was feeding me that every day. You know, mm-hmm. things of pictures of Marilyn Monroe, old movie clips, you know, oh, I just love how he looks at her, you know, even though like we looking through that, me today, be like, that's sexist, that's racist, that's there's so many different, you know, nuances that I understand now as a 22-year-old woman, that as a 13-year-old girl seemed perfectly just like how things should be or would be. I don't think that we understand reality when we are only seeing, when we think reality is online. That's what I really like had to figure out as a kid. I had to eventually decide, I was like, reality isn't happening here. Mm. Probably when I moved away from really posting on my Tumblr, I stopped really posting. I just like would scroll. I found that far more enjoyable than me having to like post something and say something along with it. Yeah. I didn't want to say anything. I just wanted to experience.
Mm, experience, yeah.
Literally, yeah. Yes. But yeah, even on TikTok now, there's like trends of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to dress up as like a 2014 Tumblr girl. And it's, you know, the outfit. It's literally a striped white and black t-shirt from Forever 21. I had one. Everyone I knew had one. Terrible. Yeah. It's like the wrong color denim shorts. Like they're not a good like rinse of denim. And it's black tights, you know, like some, you know, tights, and then black combat boots. If you're unlucky, maybe you have the brown ones. Okay.
I had the brown ones.
Me too.
But honestly, I embraced the brown ones. So I was like, at least I'm different.
I was earthy. I was
earthy. Going back to something that you said earlier, if I may, mm-hmm. When you talked about how like your Tumblr, yes, it was a way of like kind of engaging in like escapism almost, and like a romanticization of the past in order to like survive this present moment. I think it's actually, and how that's separated from reality, right? And kind of like confronting it and being like, wow, this is so separate from what is reality. And mm-hmm. like, as a young woman, I need to actually learn how to function in reality as well as this kind of space. I think at the same time, it's so fascinating to think about how you were saying like 13, 14-year-old Hannah was on your Tumblr space, which is your like digital domain, like your URL, right? Like you don't, like all that matters is how you feel about it. Like you're not doing this for followers or whatever. For you to be able to say like, I am an actor. Mm-hmm. And I'm a writer, I need a publisher. Like, it's kind of like the beauty of it too is this suspension from reality. It's almost like a speculative act, like a speculative fiction. And that's kind of how I view like Tumblr in that way. I think that's what I'm trying to get at, is that yes, it is separated from reality, but it was also the space that I think we needed in a way. Mm-hmm. And of course there's toxic, like that's a whole separate part of this conversation, but it was a way for us to kind of liberate our imaginations of what is here and now, or even was or is, to the possibilities of what could be, and what that would look like, which I think is really important. Just like being able to, again, suspend our expectations, suspend what we think we know, so that we can imagine a different life for ourselves. I think as young women, that's so difficult to do. It's really difficult to kind of liberate your vision of the world from the material kind of like oppressive dominating forces that like try to shape your thinking and your body and in this way. Now, Tumblr can be a part of that, of course, because it's a medium just like any social media, right? So any medium can channel information that is just a part of like dominant culture and oppressive systems. But I think there is something about the affordance of like being able to put together your own images and your own blog under your own URL without, of course, all of this was free too, which is like also rare. Being able to like have that, curate it the way that you want to and like suspend reality and say whatever, like, I am Hannah, I am a writer, I am an actress. And it's true because that was a seed of you that was real. Like that's not reality. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So in a way it's like speculative fiction of like kind of Octavia Butler's like how she like predicts the future, like her politics of that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like a way of like curating all of these things so that you can kind of predict a possibility for yourself based off of what you know is real at the same time. Like I think those are always in, meaning I think the digital and what we call the real world are always like actually so entangled. I think we in this digital culture try to kind of say like separate like digital world, Zoom versus real life, when something that my research and my community work has been trying to do is like actually integrating those things and realizing that there's just as many meaningful connections that can happen via the digital as like the so-called physical or material world.
Does nostalgia act as like a way for us to feel more excited about the future? I think that's like kind of how it worked for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think nostalgia is intrinsically liberatory.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something about our longings for something past or something gone, which ruptures our present, and not always rupturing our present in a way which is violent or jarring or disruptive. I think the past continues to haunt our present in a way that like shapes our bodies, orients us toward like this future where our longings are possible.
Yeah, I think yearning is such an interesting emotion because it just, I think it feels incredibly uncomfortable for a young person to want something that you can't have. And to not like yearning is more than wanting something. It's like needing it. It's like feeling it. It's like all the things of feeling something and then just not having it. And you can yearn for anything, really. Like you could yearn, like right now I'm yearning for some ice cream. I will go get ice cream. But for right now, I would love to be eating it. And then like you maximize that by like 1,000 and you know, you're 14 on Tumblr and you want, you know, this picture perfect life and you want this picture perfect experience in high school and college with love relationships and friend relationships. I feel like that is why, but then like the wisdom of age reminds you that like none of that is real. Or if it is real, it's far more complicated than you ever really expect it to be.
Do you mean like the kind of visions that you imagine as a result of being in a position to yearn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you're in a position to yearn, your imagination is limitless. We talked about this. Like your imagination is limitless. So of course you're yearning for the past because that's all that's ever happened. You're in the present. You have no idea what the future is, and the future is scary. Maybe what I'm trying to say right now is like the reason I'm so hung up on nostalgia right now is because I'm not nostalgic for college anymore.
Me neither.
I only want the future.
I know, but not really, yeah.
And I think it's because we were robbed. Okay, maybe I shouldn't say robbed. That's a bit.
No, that's actually a key word that keeps coming up in my research about the pandemic is the word robbed.
Like college ended way before it actually ended. Do you agree?
Yeah, yeah. And I think I saw the end before it was even ending. Like, I, even as it was beginning, I was already over it, kind of. Like, as we're talking about, like, the complicated, like, or complicating time, right? Like, even as I was in it and enjoying it, I could already, I was, like, nostalgic for a future, almost. Like, the future was also haunting me as, like, a possibility. And I feel like I almost didn't enjoy the present enough.
No, I feel that because, yeah, like, I was nostalgic for all the things that had happened to other people. Like, even when I got into GW, I started, like, looking at people's Instagrams. I'm like, oh, look at the current freshman. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to love it when I get to do, like, spring fling or, like, with all the little events that we did.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, those things came. And they were fun. Yeah. But it was never as good as the feeling of yearning.
Yeah, yeah. It feels good.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
And all I can do right now is yearn for someone to give me a job so I can live in New York City.
That's key. You need like the material. There's a certain level to which you need to be like materially tied in to what you need, which is different than what you desire or yearn for. And that's why I think yearning is just one part of an ecosystem of being. Like, I feel like it's still, even that like Tumblr, like 13-year-old, like yearning, like, romanticizing these pictures, like traveling, like whatever, like these imaginations that we have, I still see that as a really sacred part of the process of it, especially in college, especially when you're preoccupied with a different reality as you're living in the present and it blocks you from living in the present. There's of course a cost, right? But I also think that it's something that for us, especially at like a PWI and such a large school and not like still figuring out who we were, like there was something kind of sacred and necessary about that period of yearning as we were in it, you know? And I think now I'm reaching a point where I'm like ready to be in the present. Like I don't want to relive the past. If someone asked me if I could like redo the past like 8 years of my life, I would never do that, right? But there's things about the past that continue to come up that become kind of like obsessions. And that's what I think about like with history too. I think in the West, we have a tendency to disembody the past from our present and from the future and to view those as like three different temporal landscapes. But what if they're overlapping all the time constantly, right?
It's overlapping all the time constantly.
Yeah, it's just an ecosystem of it.
Yeah.
Like it's not everything, but they're each playing a role in this like ecosystem of growing and understanding your place in the world. And that's just like a part of it. Not bad or good necessarily, I believe, but just kind of is, like nature just is, right? Rocks just are. So I kind of see it in that way. And of course they become like, or our perception of those things become gendered or raced or racialized in certain ways. Like teen girls, I think are very policed for nostalgia and yearning and desire. And but I see it as like a very sacred part of an ecosystem of being, like at different levels. And that's something I'm learning to integrate now as I move into like, or as I move through this kind of like liminal period of like graduation and then post-grad and all of that stuff. I'm trying to hold all of those things at once in a way.
Cause like, I mean, yeah, I think perhaps too, like, I think sometimes nostalgia, when I feel it the most, is about fear, right? Like, is about the fear of moving on or like what happens when you move on. I think that we're both in that kind of space where it's like, you know, there is nothing to do but to move. Your body cannot stay here. Your mind is already gone. All of your emotional ties can move and shift as you move and shift, and that's okay. And I think if I could go back and tell like 15-year-old Hannah something, it'd be like, it is good to move on. It's positive.
I think like in a way, at the end of the day, nostalgia is about recognizing how time is like a circle, right? Like it's not good or bad. We make fun of it and we might assume that it's a way of like expressing distaste for the present, sure, but time is a circle, right? Like it is a circle in the way that water is wet. Like I think, especially when we start to decolonize our sense of time, like my people have always thought of it like that. And so I really resonate with like the idea that like time, or like that nostalgia can be like a kind of temporal like survival mechanism. It can be a love letter. It can be a bouquet that you make out of your life, out of the little bits and pieces of your life, which are beautiful and which have been and are and maybe will be. And I think, yeah, I think it's beautiful in the sense that it requires us to remember the larger scope of something. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think it's entirely separate from reality or the present necessarily. I think it's just, I don't know, it's just the way that we start to hold space for all of these contradictions and circles inside of us, these cycles that go around and around and yeah. leave and then return, kind of like in like a Balinese Hindu cosmology, like the idea of both a creator and a destroyer, both have to come entangled, both have to be balanced and harmonious, right? Like it's just a part of both. And I think nostalgia is a way that we make sense of that co-creation between life and also destruction.
So Arielle and I both love poetry. I would say a good 45% of our conversations are about a poem that we think is just amazing. Somewhere in this conversation, we got to talking about how poets have the worst case of nostalgia, and one poem full of nostalgia is Blackberrying by Sylvia Plath. I performed it when I was a Poetry Out Loud state champion for Delaware in high school, and it still hits today.
So the last stanza goes, "The only thing to come now is the sea. From between two hills, a sudden wind funnels at me, slapping its phantom laundry in my face. These hills are too green and sweet to have tasted salt. I follow the sheep path between them. The last hook brings me to the hill's northern face. And the face is orange rock. It looks out on nothing, nothing but a great space of white and pewter lights and a din, like silversmiths beating and beating at an intractable metal." Are you kidding?
Sitting with that for a moment. Yeah, just marinating. Whew. I love the nothing.
Nothing. That was my favorite part to perform in the, because I would perform this thing, you know, in front of this live audience. And I was always like, I honestly don't care. Like, this is the one poem that I would perform. I don't care if any of y'all like this. I love it. Like the nothing, nothing, like beating at an intractable metal. Like that's what we do. We beat at intractable metals. Mm. You're desperate to find something. Mm. And sometimes nothing. Poor Sylvia.
Everything, Hannah. There's the great expanse.
There's a great expanse. Oh my God.
That's again what we're talking about with time, how nothing ever truly ends. Right? There is nothingness, right? But in that space of nothingness, this pandemic, when I'm not doing shit but sitting in my bedroom, there's still this great expanse. Right, which transcends right here, right now. It goes back to the end. It goes to the beginning of the story. It pulls different bits from each part. And all of that is this beautiful field in front of me, yeah. At least in my mind's eye.
No, right? That was so wonderfully said.
What you were saying about poetry and poets, just like really holding on to the past and that, and nostalgia being such a rich kind of a rich source of inspiration and spark, like that spark that you need to really get going on a poem or to get going on an art piece.
Yeah.
Oshi Wong in one of his book talks at the Strand bookstore, like this past year, I think, or maybe 2 years ago, he says, "We are never really released from the obsessions which haunt us."
Literally.
Right? And I think in a way that's the work of nostalgia too. That's why I think of, again, nostalgia as so many things at once, as filling so many purposes, like one tool of many in our ecosystem, which is a sacred part, right? And if you rely on it too much, it becomes, there always has to be a balance, right? Or a harmony, but it is a tool too.
Thank you, Ariel Santikarma, for being on this podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so lucky to be able to like touch lights with one another, you know?
Yes, oh my gosh. Well, until next time, this is All in Good Time. Bye-bye.
That's all the show I have for you today. But before I go, I want to leave you with a quote from the hit TV show Watchmen, a show Ariel and I agree is just full of nostalgia. Nothing ever ends. It's simple, it's true, and in a lot of ways right now, it's pretty comforting for me. This has been the In Good Time podcast. My name is Hannah Rose Sturgis. Be sure to listen, share, subscribe, and until next time, bye-bye.